This is Karen Musgrave, and I'm doing a Quilters SOS Save Our Stories interview with Jeanette Thompson. Jeanette is in Chicago, Illinois, and I'm in Naperville, Illinois, and the snow is basically preventing us from getting together.
Yes.
Today's date is December 16th, 2008. It is 6:14 in the evening, and we're conducting this telephone over the telephone. And Jeanette, thank you so much for doing this interview with me. And tell me about your quilt, Obama Equals Hope.
Where should I start? I went into Panera Bread to get breakfast, and there was a Chicago Reader there, and they had a picture of Obama on the cover. I was like, I want to do an Obama quilt. I want to do his face. And I think it was that night or maybe the next day that the post went out on the quilt art list that someone was interested in doing a Obama exhibit. So immediately responded that I was getting ready to do one, so I wanted to be involved. And then I decided to use the face that was part of his campaign, that is part of his, I guess you would say, logo. And we were able to get that off the internet very easily. And my husband was able to print it out on a couple of sheets of printing paper. And I taped it together. And a lot of the work that I like to do is sort of overlapping images and switching the colors. So I wanted to put hope in it because I think that Obama really gave America hope and definitely gave me hope. So my husband actually suggested using the hope that Robert Indiana had made, the sculpture for the Democratic Convention. So we were able to get that image and divided that up into four equal parts on his face. And I sort of overlapped his face with the letters for hope on tracing paper, and then from there was able to figure out what colors I wanted to use. And I didn't want to use patriotic colors like red, white, and blue. I wanted to use very bright, happy, what I considered hopeful colors. And then from there, just sort of looked at what colors I was going to use for the letters, which is a yellow, and then looked at my stash, and then thought about what colors for his face and what parts of his face. I sort of broke it down into the different values depending on what, you know, colors I had in my stash. And that's all done with Wonder Under applique, and then I satin stitch it afterwards and just did a little bit of quilting on the hope and the background. And it was done.
What are your plans for the quilt?
Well, it's going to go to the exhibit in Maryland, and I might put it up for sale. I'm not sure. And then we'll see what happens. So we either sell it or just keep it for my collection.
Do you plan to make any more Obama art?
I've thought about making another one using that same template because I still have the tracing paper with it and maybe using different colors or, you know, doing something else with his face, but nothing has really come to mind concrete that I've, you know, wanted to, you know, move ahead and work on, but I've thought about it.
Is this typical of your work?
Typical in the sense of the style? Yeah, it's been something that I've done in my work probably for the last couple of years, taking different shapes and images and overlapping them and then switching the colors so that if you spend a little bit of time looking at the artwork, you eventually see the secondary image or multiple images that are in there. And it's stuff that I've done in painting, in using colored pencils or drawing, and it's definitely a direction that my quilting is taking and a direction that I want it to go. I like to challenge the viewer to look at the piece, and, you know, their eye will see the one image, so maybe look at the Obama equals hope, and you see Obama's face, and then you spend a little bit more time looking at it, and then you start to notice the hope in the background, or, you know, overlapping. And then use the color to help the eye see each image separately, but also see them together.
So this piece is 24 inches by 24 inches. Is that a typical size for you?
No, it's not a typical size. I think most stuff that I do is more rectangular. Probably not much bigger than that. I don't have a very good sewing machine, and to work on bigger pieces is much more challenging. So we stick within maybe that range. I think the biggest piece I did was 39 inches by 38 inches.
So tell me about your interest in quilt making.
Well, I took sewing classes in the sixth grade, because they offered that back then, and then went to college and ended up studying set design for theater, and part of that degree was to take costume design. So we learned how to sew, and we learned how to design costumes and, you know, make patterns to make our own costumes. And then after college, I didn't do too much sewing, and my husband and I moved to Chicago, and through a friend of his from high school, I met another woman, and she had a party when we first moved here, and at her party, she was showing off all the stuff that she had made, like curtains, and she made some pillows, and, you know, different things to decorate her house, and it reminded me of the fact that I knew how to sew. So my husband's friend's wife was at the party, and she had mentioned how she had a sewing machine, so I asked her if I could borrow it. But I had just moved, and I wanted to make some curtains and, you know, stuff for my place. And then I don't remember where quilts first caught my eye, but somewhere, I don't know, in Chicago, they caught my eye, and I was interested in learning how to make quilts. So I had found out about Quilter's Palette, which used to be in Morton Grove, through, like, a postcard posted on, like, a corkboard in a coffee shop. So I went on the Internet and found it, and I saw that they offered quilting classes. So I signed up for some beginner classes and befriended the teacher I had there, who was Faith Dunker Chaplick. And she kind of became my quilt guru. And I started out, as I think most art quilters, making traditional quilts. But the perfection in your measurements and seam allowance was not something I was very good at. And then I found out about the Mancuso show last year. And that was the first quilt show that I went to and got to see art quilts, more of them and up close and the range of them. And I hadn't really made too many art quilts at that point, so I was definitely going in that direction. I learned to do applique using the Wonder Under. I had met a few other people that were quilters in Chicago, and we met a few times. I also found out about the Quilt Art Digest, which was a huge influence in my turning point, because I didn't realize that there was all that information out there and options and checking out different people's websites and blogs. And when I went to the Mancuso show, they had Alliance had done the home exhibit where the artist had made a home, like a house-shaped quilt, and their interpretation of what home meant. And I just loved those and decided to make one for my best friend. And that, I would say that quilt was probably the first art quilt that I consider that I need. And then I was able at that show to take two classes. One with Linda Felder, creative machine quilting, because I hadn't done any free motion quilting yet. That was the first time branching out into free motion quilting, which was a huge turning point in what I could do in my quilts. And I also took a class with Gloria Longman from Australia, which was playing on the surface. And those two classes and that show was really the turning point with realizing what I can do with fabric and quilting and taking it from traditional to more of an art form and a way of expression.
Do you belong to any quilt groups?
There's a couple of ladies that I meet with in Chicago. I mean, we could say we're a group. We don't have any kind of official name or anything. We meet maybe once a month, maybe more like every other month, and sort of share what we're doing or go to shows together and stuff like that. I wish that there was a stronger group in Chicago.
How many hours a week do you quilt?
Maybe about 20. I usually try to come, I'm a teacher, so when I come home from work, I try to get in an hour or two, and on the weekends, pretty much most of the time on the weekends, maybe like 10 o'clock to about 6 o'clock. And then when I have summers off, I just try to work as much as I can.
What do you teach?
I teach art at a local Chicago charter high school.
When did you move to Chicago?
About 4.5 years ago. It'll be 5 years this summer.
Where did you move from?
Brooklyn, New York.
Do you think of yourself more as an artist or a quilt maker, or do you even make the distinction?
I've always considered myself an artist, but since finding art quilting, I've dedicated more time and energy to it, and I've been much more dedicated to it than I've ever been before. And lately, I would say I was a fiber artist, if I had to, you know, define myself. I mean, I'm comfortable with saying artist. I like saying fiber artist. I think it's a little bit more interesting, especially because most people don't really understand what that is or don't fully understand what art quilting is. And as soon as you put quilts, I think, into the description, they sort of get turned off and think of more traditional quilting.
So why quilts? What is it about quilt making that draws you in?
Well, something that I actually do think about often, because my first love artistically, I would say, is painting, and has always been painting. I look at art quilting as painting with fabric. And with paint, you know, you can get, like, one color, or you can get different shades of a color, different tones. But with fabric, you have the patterns that are in the fabric. So it's not like you just have yellow or you have bright yellow. You'd have yellow with gold in it, or different tones of gold or values of gold, or you could have orange in it. So there's the patterns that you can get with fabric that you can't get with paint. And there's the whole texture. There's the tangible experience or tactile feeling of, you know, using the fabric, holding the fabric, ironing it, the way you manipulate it, putting it together, quilting. It's very interactive and personal. There's all the different layers that, you know, not just the quilt layering, but the layers that you can, you know, put into the art, you know, with the fabric or mixing different materials, or you can use different thread or different free motion techniques to get a different look on the quilt.
Describe your studio.
Well, my studio is my living room. We don't have a living room anymore. It's a living room, dining room setup. I've taken over the dining room table. I've gotten a cutting board that's the same size as the dining room table. And I got a sewing machine table for free from Craigslist. And we jacked up the height of it and were able to sort of make some adjustments to it so my sewing machine could fit into it. And that butts up right against the dining room table. I've taken over most of the hutch that goes with the dining room table to put art materials on. And we have some little bookshelves from IKEA that I've taken over most of, and a little table next to my sewing machine, not a table, like a wire shelf thing that has all the things that I need right there for while I'm quilting, like all of my thread. The threads are color-coded in 99-cent Tupperware thingies, and I have a stand-up spotlight that I use so I have better light while I'm working, and pretty much that space is covered with fabric and projects and pictures and whatever I'm working on.
Do you work on more than one thing at a time?
Yeah, I would say I'm usually working on three or four things at a time. I don't like to have too many projects working at a time because it makes me a little too scattered. So when I get too many, I'll force myself to kind of sit down and finish one or two so I only have maybe three, you know, or two pieces that I'm working on because I like to finish them and complete them and finish that journey that quilt is.
What are your favorite techniques and materials?
Pretty much applique and using Wonder Under and satin stitching. That's really it. I don't get too fancy. I'm thinking that in the near future I'll probably venture out into painting on fabric or painting on muslin and quilting that. I don't do too much embellishing. It's something I've just started to do. I've only been quilting about 4 years and really doing the art quilting maybe a year and a half. I try to remind myself that I'm still a newbie, and especially when I look at what other people are able to accomplish and remind myself that they've been doing this a lot longer.
What does your family think of your quilt making?
I think only recently they started to realize how serious I am about it, or that it really is an art form and not just, you know, quilt blankets or quilts that you put on a bed. And when I started, I was making a lot of baby quilts for family members and then went into the art quilting. And they've seen pictures and, you know, gotten some recognition. And I think that they, from that, started to realize that it's more of, you know, my artistic voice than just a hobby or traditional quilting.
What do you think of the art quilt movement in Obama?
I think it's great. I think that I can't imagine that there's ever been an election where people have responded in this way. Just, you know, the coverage from Election Day and how people all over the country and all over the world celebrated this election and that people were in the streets celebrating all over the country. I have a friend in Scotland and I asked him about it and he said that people were just thrilled and they just love him and I think Michelle Obama's great, and I just don't remember an election that the world was so, you know, happy about. And I don't remember a time when artists reacted and that artists want to have exhibits and that artists have felt such a strong need to express their joy over a presidential, you know, candidate and future president. And I think it's great.
So tell me a little bit more about the exhibit.
Well, I'm very excited about it. My husband and I are hoping to drive down and go to it. And my family tells me that they'll drive down from New York and go to it, but, you know, we'll see if that actually happens. I'm excited about going to it. I'm hoping that a lot of the other quilters can make it and meet them in person. I think it's a beautiful space. I think that it's incredible that Susan just put this post out on Quilt Digest, and all these people responded that she has, I believe it's almost 60 artists, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that she got that beautiful space and, you know, they're supporting it so much and everything that they're going to do with the exhibit and the publicity, I think it's going to be a beautiful show.
What advice would you offer someone starting out?
Well, as someone who I consider still starting out, I found that working on the challenges that you can find very helpful because they give you a spark and an idea to work off of. I would definitely recommend joining the Art Quilt Digest. It can be a little bit overwhelming with the amount of emails and information that comes through there, but I think it's great because you get a lot of information. Any question you have, you can post on there, and you can get great information back. You can also meet so many quilters on there, and there's information and websites and blogs, and you can see what other people are doing. Through the Art Quilt Digest, I was able to join the Fiber Artists of California. I don't know if you know Anne Kuplin. Not sure how to pronounce her last name. She started a fiber group, which is a little bit smaller than the Art Quilt group. And on that, the Yahoo group, you can post your work and get feedback. And I think the Art Quilt community overall is so generous and supportive. And I don't know if different art fields are like this because I haven't experienced that, but having that network that is so supportive has been great. So I would definitely recommend that so you can have that support. I would recommend, if you can, to go to the shows, if you're near any of the big shows, the Vancouver show or the other big one that I can't think of the name.
International Quilt Festival.
Yeah. To go to those and just, you know, if you can get involved in a guild, I think that would be great. I mean, I haven't really had that experience. It's one of the things I lack and really wish I could find. And experiment. I mean, I'm still experimenting. You know, try to go to quilt stores when you can. Whenever I travel, I look up if there's any quilt stores that are on the route of my travel, and I'm trying to stop in them and, you know, check out what they have and, you know, build a stash if you can financially. Get books. Look at books, read books. Again, going back to Art Quilt Digest, you know, you can get great recommendations from there about books to get and, you know, learn from.
Whose works are you drawn to and why?
I would have to get my master's book and look at it. I like Pamela Allen's work a lot.
Why?
Because it's very whimsical and it's very kind of folky, but it's whimsical. And I like all the different materials that she incorporates into her quilts, the way she embellishes them. Also, how she has explained what they mean to her. I like her colors. I like a lot of color in my work. I like when I took the class with Gloria Longman. I liked her work a lot.
Why did you like her work?
Again, because it was very colorful. It was bright. I liked the way she used her colors and her quilting on top of it. I don't know who else. I can say. I feel like I'm cheating if I'm looking through my master's book.
It's okay, you can cheat. It's all right with me. I don't consider it cheating, actually.
Well, then, like, Yvonne Porcello?
Porcella.
Yes. Again, I like her colors.
She's very graphic.
Yeah. And she seems to do sort of a similar thing with that I do with the satin stitch and applique. Let's see. Who else I have marked off in here? Oh, well, I love Hollis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You have Chatelaine?
Chatelaine, yes.
I just think her work is absolutely incredible. I don't even understand how she makes these quilts. They're just so beautiful. They almost look like photographs.
But she paints them.
Yeah, that's why I'd like to go into that next step of painting them. Getting, but even the fact that she paints them and her quilting on top of them.
Right, it's the quilting that, I think with Hollis's work, it's really the quilting that makes the quilt.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen, actually I might have had one of hers at the exhibition. I don't know, I can't remember if I've ever seen one in person. Also, Katie
Pasquini Massapust?
Yes. I was just reading about her last night in Quilting On. I like what she's doing with this sort of, it looks painted.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like brush strokes.
That's her newest work.
Yeah, I like that. She also has a great use of color and color choices. Those, I would say, are probably the top ones.
Have you incorporated quilt making in your art classes at all?
No, I haven't. I would like to, and I'm not quite sure how to. It's something I want to look into. We only have, I think, 2 sewing machines in my school. I have an art club after school, which is kids that want to come and want to learn about art. And some of the other kids in my actual classes, it's an elective. And they do choose it for the most part, but sometimes they just get stuck in there because of the scheduling. And those classes tend to be bigger. So what I'm thinking is maybe with the art club of introducing it. I have brought in my work to show my kids. In the beginning of the year, I brought a couple of pieces to sort of just give them an idea of what I'm about and what I do. And I did bring the Obama quote in to show some teachers, and they were like, you have to show your students. I was like, I don't know, I feel really weird about showing it to my students. It just feels very, self-centered or egotistical. They're like, oh, look what I did. But the kids were so excited about the election. On election day, like my first period of the day, was a class with a lot of seniors. And they came in and they were like showing their voting receipts and they're like, Miss, we voted, we were so excited, and some of them got up early just so they can go and vote. And then the next day, I had the radio on in my class and they were replaying part of his speech. And they, you know, they're high school kids, they talk constantly. And this one kid's like, shh, it's Obama, and the whole class got quiet just to listen to like that little clip of Obama that they were playing. So I was like, all right, you know, I'll show it to them. And they loved it. One class, like, applauded. They were just so excited about it. A girl had her camera, and she wanted to take a picture, and they were all like, I want to buy it. I'm like, you know, you can't buy it. So I don't know. I think I'll try to bring it into the art club because it's just a small group of kids that are there. You know, because I really do like art, and kind of see how it goes from there.
What do you think makes an artistically powerful quilt?
I think there can be many different answers to that. It could be because when you look at it, you have a reaction that touches an emotion in you, and you can respond to that and connect to it, or it can just be you know, a quilt that has all of the, you know, principles of art done right, you know. You know, that they chose the right colors and, you know, the right shapes, and it's just a good composition, and you respond to it because it's aesthetically pleasing, or you think it's aesthetically beautiful, and you connect something to it that you like, you know, if it's an emotion, because it's, there's an emotional reaction, or just you like it and it's pretty, or, you know, you're impressed with what another artist was able to do with fabric and quilting. I think it's sort of individual.
What do you think is the biggest challenge confronting quilt makers today?
That the art world hasn't realized that it's an art. That they are still looking at it like a craft, or looking at it like it is just blocks and, you know, a blanket that you put on a bed. But I do think that's changing, and I think that's because there are so many art quilters out there, and that the community is so strong and united that, you know, I think people are going to start to realize more, and other artists are going to start to recognize it more as real art. I don't know if you ever heard of the Chicago Artists Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at their website last night and put in textile artists and put in fiber artists and put in quilts just to get an idea of, you know, what's out there, at least in my community. And there really weren't very many that were actual art quilters. Maybe one or two that I would consider. But I think it's great that they're on there, because I think that's the kind of stuff that we need to do, is get ourselves out there and get our work shown in not just quilt shows and not just, you know, quilt challenges, but in other exhibits, and try to, you know, get people to see it and experience it and appreciate it.
So you've mentioned the challenges a couple of times. Tell me what has been your favorite challenges?
I did the grab bag challenge.
With Tommy Send?
Yeah. And I thought that was great. I think that's a great artistic experience to be sent materials that are probably not materials that you would usually use and figure out how to make something with them. I wish there was a way to do that with other art forms, you know? I don't really know what other art form could do that besides, you know, textile or fiber artists. And I would definitely do that one again. I like the journal quilt challenge. I did the Hoffman challenge this year, and I ended up getting in the traveling show, or one of their traveling shows. So that was great, but I really liked the fabric that they chose.
So tell me more about it.
I don't know if you're familiar with the fabric that they had this year. It was purple and blues, and it was like a peacock, and it had big flowers on it. And it was one of the first challenges that I actually found out about and wanted to enter. So I ended up finding an image of, I believe it could be by Michelangelo. I never actually found out. It was just like a pencil rendering of a male figure sort of bent, sitting down with his arms kind of wrapped around his legs, with his, you know, knees up, and then kind of just looking over slightly, you know, and he just had this expression, or the emotion from him I just really responded to. So I took that image and enlarged it and kind of broke down the values, just a couple of values, maybe four, and did a very simple image of him with just some browns and tans. And then for the background, I used a Hoffman fabric in a more traditional block quilting, kind of cutting up the Hoffman fabric so that each block had a certain image from the fabric. So each square had like the same image, depending on the shape and direction. And I put him over that and then cut out all of these flowers and kind of put him so he's sitting in this bed of flowers. And free motion quilted over him. And the bottom half where the flowers were didn't have binding, so the top three edges had binding on it, and the bottom I finished it so that they were shaped like the flowers. And I was very happy with the way that came out. It was a big achievement for me as far as developing my skills and making a bigger art quilt. And I was very happy when it made it into the traveling show. Are there any others? That Fiverr, that Yahoo group that I'm a part of, they had a black and white, my world in black and white challenge. And that one, I did two pieces. Actually, those are pretty big, too. I would say they were about 2 feet by maybe 4 feet. And I was reading Eckhart Tolle's New Earth book. And he talks a lot about, in the book, about this concept of I am. So, like, anything that happens to you in your life, you're just supposed to get to this point that I could never get to, where you just be like, I am. So if you're driving in traffic or driving home on a daily day with all the snow and, you know, it's frustrating, instead of getting frustrated, you're just supposed to be like, I am, and just that's it. And anything in life, you know, like gossiping or anything negative, you're just supposed to go back to this concept of I am and just, you know, you exist and that's it, I am, and just a concept that I couldn't get and still struggle with. So I incorporated those letters into it. So in big block letters it said, I am, and then there was a female figure that was in that rectangular shape, and she sort of looks like she's struggling. And there are some other images. There's some curvy, wavy lines and some circles and other stuff, and all of that overlaps. And then every other shape is either black or white, so that you can see those images if you really look at it. And the black parts of the figure were sort of a gray, crackling-looking fabric. And then the outside of the figure was a black fabric with, like, a grayish pattern on it. And then where the figure is, I painted over the white with the Lumineer sparkle sheet. And then did some very simple straight stitching just over the letters on the white part. So then there was one on the left that said, I am with the figure, and then the other one was a mirror image of that, but it said, am I? So the concept was, in life, we're always asking ourselves, you know, you might say, oh, I am an artist, but then there are days that are bad. You might be like, am I an artist? But either you're like, I am a good wife, or I am a good friend. And there are other times when you're like, am I a good friend? Am I a good wife? So those questions that we ask ourselves.
Very nice.
And that one won second place.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
How did that make you feel?
Made me feel great, because it's really hard to come home from work almost every day and try and put work into this. And I would say for probably about the last year and a half, I've really dedicated myself. And, you know, I get only 6 weeks off for the summer. And, you know, that was my studio time, and I worked every day and got up every day and tried to get to work by 10, and usually work until 6 or 7 at night. So it was really nice to get some recognition for, you know, dedicating myself to it.
So how do you want to be remembered?
As an artist?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where I hope to go with this. It's something I've, you know, thought about recently, sort of wondering, you know, well, what's the point? Why are you doing this? I think most artists would agree that they do it because, you know, they feel a need to do it and they have to do it. For me, it helps to keep me sane. It helps me deal with and get out stuff that, you know, I can't get out any other way. I don't know where I want to go with it. I would like to start to get into shows that aren't just quilt shows. Maybe eventually down the road have an exhibit. I don't expect to be a big name in the art quilt world. I don't expect to make it into the master's books. Maybe. I don't know. I'd like to meet some great people, make some great friends, have a quilting community, you know, and continue to do it and continue to grow and change as far as what I can do with the art form, and break out into, you know, more options as far as being able to express what I want to express. I'd like to have a real studio at some point. I don't know, I just like to remember it as someone who made some quotes that touched people and, you know, they connected to.
We're almost at our 45-minute mark. Is there anything that you would like to share that I haven't asked you?
No, I don't think so. I think you've covered it all.
Well, you've done a great job.
Thank you.
Thanks you for so much for taking time in your evening to share it with me.
No, thank you for doing this for all the cultures of the world.
Thank you.
Our stories. I mean, that's bigger than my 45 minutes.
Oh, I don't agree with that at all. But we'll conclude our interview, and it's now 6:57.